Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
A number of horrific dog attacks since 2020, including the deaths of two very young children and a 9-year-old boy who was left with life-changing injuries, prompted the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, to establish a working group on the control of dogs. Today, he presented its interim report to Cabinet, and recommendations include the recruitment of 40 additional dog wardens and increased fines. Minister McConnellogue joins me now from our Dáil studio. Minister McConnellogue, you're very welcome to Drive Time this evening.
Good evening, John.
40 additional dog wardens is the headline we're seeing, and strengthened fines. Can we talk about the dog wardens first of all, and have they enough power to do this work and to actually enforce the laws around dog control?
Well, first of all, it's been really important that we have conducted this review, and I want to acknowledge the contribution of, and I've worked closely with Minister Heather Humphreys and her department, as well as indeed Dara O'Brien, and indeed also we've had participation by the Gardaí in relation to the working group that have made these 15 recommendations. And central to that, as you say, is the appointment and recommendation that we need to strengthen dog wardens by appointing 40 new dog wardens across the country, but also increasing significantly as well the fines under the Controls of Dog Act, and also taking other steps such as introducing a targeted neutering scheme for dogs, and also a media campaign as well to encourage responsible dog ownership. But I think it's a two-pronged approach, really, John. It's about ensuring that our laws are strengthened, but also ensuring that the enforcement capacity is there. The dog warden structure at the moment is conducted by local authorities, and there's different models for doing that across the country. But what we want to do is to give them the additional capacity to enforce the laws that are there. And of course, there's also a strong role as well for Gardaí, and indeed for the public as well, in relation to enforcement of existing laws. So for example, at the moment, some breeds, for example, by current law, are required to be muzzled and on a leash at all times. So for example, your Staffordshire Terriers, Rottweilers, Bulldogs, Japanese Akitas, by law, anytime they are in public at the moment, the law states that they must be unleashed and muzzled. And indeed, the Gardaí can take anyone up and hold an empty to account for that. So what I would say to members of the public who see those laws not being enforced, which unfortunately is happening too often at the moment, is that that should be reported to the guards, because we need to make sure that where people don't take responsible approaches to managing their dogs, that type of activity and people that do that are seen as social pariahs, and indeed across the board, that we ensure we clamp down, ensure proper enforcement, and ensure that the public are kept safe, and also, of course, ensure that we take steps as well in terms of the incidents we've seen in recent times in relation to livestock deaths as well.
Should there be more breeds of dog on that list? Because for muzzling, I don't think you're recommending that today.
That is something that, as part of the report, we're going to, the recommendation is that we explore that further. We haven't come to a final decision on that, but it is certainly something that we are going to look into. This working group started off its work in early January, and we wanted to ensure that the recommendations and the work was expedited as quickly as possible. So this report now is an initial report with 15 different recommendations, and one of those is a full review of the list of dogs, of how we address particular breeds which can be seen as dangerous, whether, for example, we need particular licensing approaches or particular approaches in relation to those breeds. So that is something we're going to explore further. But within the report, we want to act very quickly on the various recommendations that are there. And that's why we ensured that the work was conducted quickly so that we can implement the various steps that can be taken now. And also then, as part of a full review of the legislation, consider issues such as that.
You mentioned 40 extra dog wardens. There's 60. There's about one for every local authority, really, or in a lot of areas, or one per county in some areas, if they're lucky. So is 40 enough? Will people actually apply for it? And how long will this take?
Well, the assessment is, and both the Department of Rural Affairs, my own department, the Gardaí, and the representatives of local authorities participated in the working group and considered this matter in terms of what would be a proper resourcing and the need for additional resourcing. They do fully believe that 40, with the alongside that, the awareness campaigns that will be run will actually address the need. Over the next period of time now, we'll be working with local authorities to commence that process. We'll also be, the additional expected cost for this will be 5 million euros. So working with the Department of Housing and Local Government and the Department of Public Expenditure will be securing that additional funding over the time ahead. But importantly, commencing this work now in terms of recruitment. But that is one of the 15 recommendations, because alongside that as well, the fines are going to be more than doubled in the vast majority of instances. A number of those steps can be taken immediately by regulation. That's something that Minister Humphreys is going to step out. And of course, really importantly as well, we have seen over the last number of years really good progress made, for example, in relation to the microchipping of dogs, also to the control of breeding establishments. And two of the recommendations in today's working group report as well is that we develop a central database now to build in that work and to ensure that in terms of dog wardens across the country, that mm-hmm. information is centralised so it can actually be utilised.
Well, you mentioned microchipping, but it goes back to the basics of even having a dog licence. And reports tell us that there are around or less than 200,000 licensed dogs out of an estimated 800,000 in the country. Doesn't that tell you that the dog licence doesn't work, that the dog wardens can't do enough to police this, and that you're going to need a lot more than just tougher fines and a few extra dog wardens?
Yeah, it tells us that more needs to be done, certainly. The need for microchipping was first introduced in 2015, and indeed the system that we have introduced in Ireland is seen as a very forward-thinking one when compared internationally. But we do have to see now in terms of how we can make sure that the enforcement and full application of it is brought to bear. That's why we're looking at the additional dog wardens to develop that capacity. But while good progress has been made, we have further to go, and we want to step up that work now and make sure that it's very effective.
Minister, can I ask you about a number of other issues we've been talking about in this evening's drive time as well, and in particular housing? We were speaking to the Land Development Agency chief earlier on the basis of its report today that state lands could provide 60,000 affordable homes. You discussed this at Cabinet today as well. But the question is how many of those homes could be built in a quick enough time, or what the time frame would be, because 10,000 homes, where we understand, would be possibly deliverable between 5 to 10 years. So is state land the right place to focus on now?
Well, we have to focus on all opportunities here, and state land is one of those. The Land Development Agency was set up under new legislation. It was set up for the first time in 2019, and the purpose of it is to actually utilise state land to deliver housing supply, because of course the answer to the housing challenge we have is additional supply and ramping that supply up as quickly as we possibly can. That's why the state and the government this year built more social houses than had ever been done since 1975. That's why we have the significant target set within the Housing for All strategy, where last year we achieved and exceeded last year's target of and achieved over 30,000. One of those steps that can actually contribute to that is the work of the Land Development Agency. They're currently building and have a short-term pipeline of 5,000 affordable homes on public land, and then through Project Tussie, which they're also managing, and they're due to deliver 5,000 cost rental and affordable homes by 2026. Today's report is a long-term report, which they were required under the legislation to carry out, looking and doing a full assessment of public land across the country to do an assessment in relation to how public land can contribute in both the medium term and long term, as well as the short term, which they're currently delivering on, to the housing challenge that we have. So it's important work, but it's one aspect right. of the work that the government is doing to deliver supply and address what is a real rental crisis there and ensure that everyone is able to get the home that they deserve and need.
John Coleman, the Land Development Agency chief, told us earlier on in the programme in response to the Social Democrats calling for the LDA to get more powers, including strengthened compulsory purchase powers. That would be a matter for the government. Should they have greater powers, and is this something that you and your cabinet colleagues are considering?
Yeah, well, listen, every lever, every possible lever that the government can pull to deliver supply, we will. That's why under Housing for All strategy, we have put in place such a strong suite to help people get their homes and also to actually drive supply. So, for example, you look at the Help to Buy scheme, where a young person or a young couple can now apply to get up to 30,000 euro from revenue to contribute towards their deposit. That's why we've put in place the First Home scheme, where the state will partner in terms of going 30% of the equity to help somebody buy a home where they can't get the full mortgage themselves. And that's why we have the €30,000 direct grant to a homeowner who's bringing in a vacant property, who's renovating a vacant property, or indeed the €50,000 direct grant to a property or to a person who's going to make a derelict, bring a derelict home back into place. So across the board, we're pulling every single lever we can. The Land Development Agency has an important role to play in that. Today's report is important in terms of scoping what potential public land has to actually play in relation to delivering more housing supply over the time ahead, and where there's steps that the government need to take to make sure that this supply is maximised in every way possible, we'll take it.
We know that the government is facing a motion of no confidence, this Labour Party motion tomorrow, of course, because of homelessness and the housing crisis and our long housing waiting lists. And we know that lots of questions being asked about whose support you can rely on. I'm reading this evening the Rural Independents in the last few minutes declared no confidence in the government's ability to tackle the worsening housing crisis. Matty McGrath saying we need a government that is willing to take bold action, stop the empty promises and make the necessary investments to address the housing crisis. The time for broken promises and shallow policies, he says, is over. Is this damaging to the government now ahead of this vote tomorrow?
No, listen, I mean, the government will welcome support from any side of the House that we can get it. But we believe we have a very strong working majority. I think that will be shown again tomorrow. And listen, the government have comprehensive plans and are doing everything we can to address the housing crisis. We're not seeing solutions from other sides of the House. The reality is that we as a government have built more social houses last year than have been built ever in my lifetime.
You're still confident of winning so in this confidence vote? Even without that support,
I believe so.
The support and of people who did support you in the past, things are changing perhaps.
No, I believe so. And listen, we are doing everything possible to deliver the supply to make sure that young people across this country can get their home and own a home, and to address the rental crisis that's there because of a crunch in supply. Every step we're taking is to deliver that. We have serious policies. They are seeing housing supply ramp up. We will continue to do that. And that's why I'm confident we'll win the motion of confidence tomorrow, and we'll continue to make progress and address this, what is the number one issue in this country.
A final word, please, Minister, on another subject we've been talking about and will be talking about in more detail as well later on. This independent review into gender-based violence, harassment and bullying in the Defence Forces published today, a full statutory inquiry recommended. This is really harrowing reading, Minister McConnell. The review found at best the Defence Forces barely tolerates women, and at its worst it verbally, physically, sexually and psychologically abuses women in its ranks. How do you react to that?
I think that the publication of the report is a watershed moment. It really highlights issues which go to the very heart of dignity, mutual respect and the duty of care within our defence forces. It does, it's important to say, acknowledge the defence forces have a proud and rich legacy in peacekeeping missions, and that's recognised, that is recognised and highly respected internationally. However, what it does do, John, it illustrates and highlights a range of out-of-date policies and practices that are not fit for purpose and in tackling unacceptable behaviour such as bullying, discrimination, harassment and sexual harassment within the Defence Forces. And in particular, it highlights the experience of many women within the Defence Forces, which has been appalling. And it's something that the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, as well as the government, is determined now that this report will be a catalyst for transformation within our Defence Forces.
But how long will these inquiries take? The Dublin Rape Crisis Centre saying this plan for a statutory inquiry, this reform system, it must proceed quickly. We've seen statutory inquiries take a long time in the past. This needs adequate resources, the rape crisis says as well.
Absolutely, and the Taoiseach is absolutely committed to making sure that that's the case, and indeed is working with the Chief of Staff in relation to addressing many of the cultural issues which this report highlights. And listen, I want to also acknowledge the courage shown by the women of honour and the women and men of honour in terms of raising the awareness and bringing these issues to attention within the report. And the government now is absolutely committed in terms of acting on them and making sure that the issues that are highlighted, appalling in many instances, are addressed.
It's where we have to leave it for now. Thank you for joining me on Drive Time this evening, Minister Charlie McConnell.